This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to BXB, the Bronx Baseball Podcast, C-Mac and K-Mac, and the baseball is coming back to the Bronx this weekend, but before that, we got to talk about this road trip that was. Chris was on a little bit of a road trip himself, came back into this mess. I'm coming out of having a cold the last few days. I moved in the last 2 weeks. A lot going on personally and professionally, but here we are to talk about your New York Yankees. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, Keith? Yeah, no, I had a road trip. It started with the I was in the car listening to John and Susan for the Severino game against the Astros, which was fun. And then I got to try and keep an eye on while I'm, you know, my wife's yelling at me because I'm watching my phone at Epcot, watching the Yankees get, you know, trounced by the White Sox. It was a great experience. Honestly, I needed the week away, and I come right back into really the bottoming out and my first game back on the couch, being back to being my normal Yankee fan self, was the finale in Miami, which was a lot of fun. And in many ways, the bottoming out and the epitome of what this team has become, unable to do any, even when they have things right, even when they have their best players. Because you could argue Clay Holmes is one of their three or four best players this year. So even when they put themselves in a position to succeed, they find ways to fail, whether it's their best players, whoever it is, they're going to find a way to blow a game. And then they go into Atlanta and just give themselves absolutely no chance to even compete with the best team in baseball. So it's been a really nice 2 weeks since I spoke to you.
Yeah,
it's been really good.
I think, you know, the last time we had the podcast was after the last homestand, where I think we felt all right about coming out of the deadline and not being swept by the Rays and then splitting the series with the Astros. I'm not sure if it was before that Astros.
Yeah, series. I think we had the live reaction to the Rizzo news was the last podcast we did. So it was before they
that split. Seems so long ago now.
I know. So much has happened. So many good positive things. So right now it's just I talked about it on the show last night. I know you've been under the weather, but last night for me, this is now officially, you know, they're under a game under 500 this late in the season. You know, hasn't been since 1995. I mean, this is a low point, I think, for Yankee fans in the last 30 years. I mean, that's really how I feel my entire life. I'm going to be 40 years old in December. If you take in the amount of money they spent, the payroll they have, the expectations they had, the idea of so many pieces on the roster that you can't move on from being part of the main problem and looking to what can they possibly do in the future. I mean, this is as low a point I think they've had since 1992. I started watching the Yankees on a regular basis. The first year I remember in my mind is 1993. So I've been 30 years watching the Yankees. I don't know if I've ever felt worse about them than I do at the moment right now.
Yeah, that's why I say a lot on air and online. Like I say, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Like how many more numbers do you need to see to tell you that what you're seeing is all-time bad? This is an all-time low. So, you know, most of the Yankee fans, even like our age or younger, this is the worst season they've seen. Yeah. I don't remember the 95 season. And one thing I always say about the 99 season is earlier and earlier is that, like, I didn't see Donnie Baseball play. You know, I would have loved to see him step in the batter's box. I hear about it, but I've had to watch that on YouTube and, you know, documentaries and Yankeeography. But yeah, the Yankees fall below 500. And the latest or the last time that they did that was September 5th, 1995. No. But that team was able to figure it out. That team was able to get to the wild card. I don't think this team is figuring it out.
No.
And it sucks to say it. But like, this is it. Like, you couldn't go on the road and go 2-7. For all the folks that were holding out hope at like 3.5 games back.
Yeah.
The schedule's not going to get much easier. Nobody feels sorry for the New York Yankees besides themselves. So like at this point, I think we're all just looking for who to blame. And I think it starts at the top and not Brian Cashman.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Cashman, everybody fire Cashman. Those t-shirts are going to sell. And those t-shirts are probably going to be good and fashionable until, I don't know, next June. Right. Yeah. But Hal definitely has to take blame in a lot of this. I think that they're disconnected. I think there's an identity crisis. And I think that Hal having, a $7 billion franchise, but even mentioning being under the luxury tax, like there's a disconnect there. Hal Steinbrenner going after a advertiser to put a $25 million patch on the jerseys, but then still talking about a luxury tax threshold of saving $1.5 million. You know, I think a lot of times Brian Cashman talks about what he can do and what he can't do with the budget.
Yeah.
And since there is a budget, I think it's made Brian Cashman feel like he's got to get creative or try to finesse or make some cheap bargain bin clearance rack type moves. And it hasn't worked out well. And not just this year. It's been years that have led up to this year. And now you're finally starting to see that the Yankees, they're disconnected. They don't know who they are anymore. And it starts at the top with Hal and then Cashman. Those two, I think those two are both at fault.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Everyone inside the organization is at fault. But I mean, what what I'll say about Hal, though, while I agree with you, and there are times where he could have done more, and I agree the idea of once you get to this point, like I do think it's somewhat reasonable. I mean, they're putting in these luxury tax rungs and penalties for a reason. I mean, even Steve Cohen is going to adhere to them at some point. Everyone has a budget. And I don't think necessarily looking at the budget that Hal Steinbrenner has an unreasonably low budget. Could it be more? Yeah. When you get to this point in the season to worry about the $1 million, then that's where I agree with you. To try and save a season or try and save the franchise from where we are, that should not be a thought. But overall in his thinking, there is no owner in baseball. There is no owner in sports that won't have a budget. No matter how much money the Yankees make, there's going to be a budget. And I think the money he's put in is relatively good enough to be better than they are. So I'm disappointed that he's still talking about budgets and luxury tax in the middle of a crisis. But overall, like I had a caller last night who thinks he wishes they would sell the team. I don't necessarily see it that way. I'm fine. I think the Steinbrenners are willing. They're not going to, and I don't think they have to. I think Brian Cashman's much more to blame in this than Hal Steinbrenner is. Hal Steinbrenner still, like, you know, in 2019 they have the season, they go out and steal the ace away from the team that beat them and bring Cole here for $326 million. He went out and got the Giancarlo Stanton contract. Like, he very rarely says just absolutely no.
But see, Chris, that's what I'm saying, where I think there's a disconnect. I think there's sometimes certain players, Giancarlo Stanton, Garrett Cole, Aaron Judge, Hal Steinbrenner's like, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But then once you do that, then it's like, okay, now we have to finesse and finagle the rest of the spots.
Yeah.
Where last year, you clearly needed a left fielder.
Yeah, no doubt.
And there were some left fielders available.
Mm-hmm.
But Cashman decided that Oswaldo Cabrera and Aaron Hicks were good enough, that they were under control. They were under the payroll. They were good enough. And that taking that shortcut comes back to bite you, even at third base, right? An allocation of funds. There's no way in hell that you needed to put a washed up Josh Donaldson on this team that cost you over $20 million this season.
No, it was a terrible
There's a
trade.
Disconnect between what Hal is saying they can spend and what Brian Cashman does. And I don't understand how that happens. I don't understand how they're not in lockstep on every move, every way. I feel like there's a disconnect. I feel like Hal says, hey, here's your allowance.
Right.
And then Cashman goes and spends like 80 or 90% on one or two players and then only has 10% to use on the rest of the team. And then when the team fails, Hal's like, oh, well, it's only June. It'll work out. Nobody was expecting them to be this bad this year.
No. I think everyone thought they were going to be a playoff team. They were projected
to win the division.
They were projected to win the division. It was the rotation, really, that's not falling apart. But, yeah. No, I agree. I'm very frustrated. And obviously, I mean, I think Brian Cashman's done a horrendous job the last 2 years. I don't think there's any way around it. From the Donaldson trade to the trade deadline of last year, trading for injured pitchers.
Frankie Montas.
He's right? done.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, Chris.
Yeah. Like,
that's why I'm saying all of these things lead us to here. Yeah. Last year, you traded away pitching depth. You had guys that were top prospects that were ready to become starters. You traded mm-hmm. them away for a Frankie Montas mm-hmm. and a Lou Trevino. They haven't helped the team at all this year. They haven't mm-hmm. pitched. Even with a rental in Andrew Benintendi to fix left field, that was your second attempt. You went and got Joey Gallo, who, you know, another thing I want to say, because I always hear like Evan say this on the radio about like, oh, fans applauded that. It does not matter what moves the fans applaud. Fans applauded Carlos Rodon signing. It is on them to do their due diligence. It's like they don't look right. at these guys' medical records. It's like they don't do any deep dives into these guys' psychology and like mm. whether they'll be able to perform under pressure here. And then when it yeah. goes bad, it's just like, oh, well, we'll pivot to the next guy. Or even in last year's deadline, when we all thought, uh-oh, we're going to get Luis Castillo and pair him with Gerrit Cole, and he'll be here this year and next year. Well, the Mariners jumped in front of you because they were willing to give up prospects that you weren't. Mm. That didn't mean you had to pivot to a Frankie Montas, and you did. And you gave away three starting pitching prospects that you could have used this year when yeah. your pitchers went to shit. When you lost Nestor Cortez, when you lost Luis Severino, and then he came back completely lost, yeah. and then Rodon half the year wasn't available. You needed a JP Sears. You needed a Ken Waldichuk. You needed a Luis Medina. Luckily, you have a Randy Vasquez and a Johnny Brito, but yeah. even the way you've deployed them hasn't been right. And when you said earlier, everybody's at fault. Yeah, everybody's at fault too. Boone is probably going to get fired this season because they need a sacrificial lamb, but maybe not. I was actually having a thought too, that they're all in lockstep. Like, not in lockstep on their decision-making because there's a disconnect. We don't know who's in charge, how all of this nonsense has come out of there. But I feel like they're in this together and they're willing to take on the world and say, we got hit with injuries. We'll be better next year. We're running it back with Boone. We're running it back with Cashman. And Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to fire anybody.
No, listen, Cashman's not going anywhere. I firmly believe I'm at the point now where I think it makes more sense to let him go than not. I've come full circle on it. I've admitted my mistake. He's been that bad, but he's not going anywhere. And I've been saying this for the last couple of days. I don't see a point in firing Boone if you're going to keep Cashman. Are you really going to allow Cashman to hire another manager? Who do you think he's going to hire? You think he's going to go hire
Mark DeRosa? Somebody on the fan said Mark DeRosa.
Right. Everyone, which makes me laugh. And nothing against Mark DeRosa. He might be.
He's another TV guy. How well has Sean Casey done so far?
He's exactly what Aaron Boone was. He's a former MLB player who's now working for TV. Like, that's exactly what Boone was. You think he's going to come in there and tell the Yankees what's what? Like, and tell Brian Cashman, no, we don't do it this way. Not in my house. Like, if you're going to hire me, I run the show. Like, that's not what's going to happen. So for me, and I don't think Boone is to blame in this, really. I mean, you watch the team. You think it's Boone. Like, they just played the Braves, right? And everyone talked about, look at the difference between the Braves and the Yankees. I mean, do you think it's because the manager is that much better? Like, is that what happened? Did the Yankees get outclassed at manager in these three games? Or did you watch a roster up and down that is far superior? Do you think if Snitker was the Yankee manager would be better? Do you think if
he doesn't have to manage much? There's not much to do.
If Bruce Bochy, who in my opinion is the best manager in baseball, has three World Series championships and has kind of set the Rangers on a great start here, do you think the Yankees would be in the first wild card, or like we'd be licking our chops, getting ready to get a playoff series going right now if he were the manager? It wouldn't make a difference. Like, Boone is not the problem. He's not. There is no solution, so he's certainly not that. But. And if they fire Brian Cashman, then you have to fire Aaron Boone. I'm fine for cleaning house. That's probably what should happen, but it's not going to. So if they're not firing Boone, but here's the one thing I will say, people are going to get mad at me. I'm on the record. The thing that probably should happen is clean house. They're not going to fire Brian Cashman. I think a lot of the problem with the Yankees is they looked at last year, and whether you saw it coming, whether I saw it coming, whether the fan base saw it coming or not, they deemed last year as somewhat successful. They won 99 games, won the toughest division in baseball that had three playoff teams in it, and were one of the final four and lost to the World Series champs. Yep. They don't see that. No matter how the second half played out, they were able to tell themselves, hey, we lost Benintendi and we lost LeMahieu. That's part of the reason why the second half looked the way it did. It's part of the reason why we weren't competitive in that series.
Michael King as well.
You know, Michael King as well. I mean, he was one of the – the most dominant relievers in the sport for a while. And that's why you could play that game and go back to the last 200 and tell me we're 100 and 101 or whatever. Like, a lot of that was injuries last year. The first half, we were the best team in baseball, and we made it to the Final Four. Matt Carpenter. Yeah, exactly. Matt Carpenter breaks his foot. So there's a lot of reasons that the Yankees could tell themselves. Whether they're right or wrong, at least in my mind, I can say, all right, I disagree with you, but you have an argument. You have at least some kind of ability to say,
I see where you went wrong.
I can see how you felt that way, even though I think you were being too gracious to yourself. At least you can make the case that, yeah, they were somewhat. Then all these things happened. It's almost like the Rizzo thing. He was a good player. Then there was the line of demarcation and something happened. And then from that point on, they were bad. You can point to all those injuries and say to yourself, look at what we were. Then look what happened. Look what we became. And yet still, 99 wins, win a division, get to the ALCS. And I'm just telling you their thought process. So I think when coming off that season, they told themselves, hey, we can retool this thing. We'll add that great starting pitcher. And yeah, we'll probably still struggle a little bit offensively and certainly in left field. We'll attack it at the deadline because we'll be winning enough considering the rotation where I'll be able to go out there and really attack the deadline and feel good about trading prospects for a legitimate left fielder. And the rotation, Frankie Montas is our number five. Severino has been nothing but an ace every time he stepped foot on the mound. Nestor Cortez has been a revelation for the last 2 years. And we just signed the number three best pitcher, according to Major League Baseball last year, heading into the season, in Carlos Rodon. And King is coming back. The bullpen's good. We have a legitimate rotation, and we'll probably end up relying on that more than the offense, but we have the best player in baseball in Judge, and we'll get through until the deadline. That's what they told themselves. I still believe, as crazy as I am, if Brian Cashman is retained at GM, he can't have those same discussions anymore. Right. He can't look at this team now and make those arguments. They have completely fallen on their face. It's going to be the worst team he's ever put together. And that's with Vernon Wells hitting cleanup in different years. And that's with, worst. Lyle Overbay at first, Chase Headley at third, Vernon Wells in the middle of the lineup. And this is the worst that he's ever had in his entire tenure at GM. So he can't have that same opinion moving forward. And whether or not
at shortstop.
Right. And whether or not he's made mistakes over the last few years, he has. I still don't believe he is a bumbling idiot. He's been doing it too long. I know they've been in one World Series in 20 years. It's not good enough. And again, move on from him. I'm all on board. But they're not going to. So I have to try and tell myself, does that mean? And that's really the question here. The question for me with the Yankees moving forward, and we're already at that point where that's the conversation to have. The Yankees moving forward. Is Brian Cashman able? Do you believe him to be able to realize that now it's not 99 wins and an ALCS appearance, that it is literally the worst offense in the sport, or one of the top two or three worst offenses in the sport? My rotation is completely falling apart and things need to dramatically change. And is Brian Cashman able to look at it? And we're seeing the reports now. Ben Rutter or whatever, the minor league baseball player who's come out and talked about how analytics has ruined the farm system and everything. They fired Lawson, who has been before he was the Yankee hitting coach, he was the Yankee batting guru for the entire farm system. So they've already, whatever we thought about how it could help the major league team with the firing of him, it does signal a changing in how are they going to shape their fundamental hitting approach throughout the Brent Rutter. Thank you very much, Ryan. How they're going to shape their hitting fundamentals throughout the whole organization. They've brought in two major GMs in Omar Minaya and Brian Sabian, and they're finally going to have their first full year inside the organization. So the question is Brian Cashman capable of recognizing that even though it got to a point that you were comfortable with last year, it has completely fallen apart? Can he pivot in the way he thinks and the way they approach this team to try and change who they are, which is obviously necessary? So that's really the question. Do you feel that they're just going to retool this team and Brian Cashman's going to go about the same business as usual? That's what I'm saying. Like, we all know he can't, right? Like, he can't. So then the question is,
they're not firing Cashman this year.
No, they're not.
But his seat will be hotter than ever this offseason. His seat is hot right now. His seat will be hotter than ever this August, September, October, November, December. That's why I said those fire Cashman shirts, they're good till May, June. Because everybody in the baseball world and beyond will be watching to see what Brian Cashman does to bounce back. Okay, you made the mistake of thinking that you were better than you were last year, mm-hmm. right? The team played out of their minds, way above their heads the first half of the season. Then when they started to wilt, you thought it was injuries, you thought it was the dog days, you thought it was all this other stuff, yeah. the Aaron Judge home run chase. But, you know, a couple nights ago, last week, I played the clip that tells you everything. I'm going to play it tonight. It was Cashman going on the Score 670 and talking about how far did we get. It was yeah. almost arrogant. It was almost yeah. cocky to say. Mm-hmm. And the way he worded it was that we were four games away from the World Series. So when you're four games away from the World Series and you're defeated by the team that goes on to win the World Series, it gives you a level of comfort, but it yeah. was false comfort.
Yep.
And so you didn't stack the deck, knowing that your team is injury prone, knowing that you sign injury prone players, knowing that the player that you gave $360 million to, you were hesitant to offer him $300 million on opening day that season because of his injury history. And he mm-hmm. stayed healthy just to stick it to you and make you pay him. You did that, and you felt like you didn't have to do much more. You traded away Jordan Montgomery, a left-handed pitcher, which they always say, oh, Yankees, they don't have enough left-handed pitching and hitting. Mm-hmm. So you go and get the best left-handed pitcher on the market, and that guy's got an injury history. He wasn't ready to go. Whatever. This season is a wash. It is embarrassing for everyone involved. They wasted everyone's time, and I'm not just saying the players, I feel like, aren't getting enough blame. Watching these games night – These guys are out of it, bro. Like, they're checked out. And I don't care what anybody says about Judge being the captain. It's not on Judge. He's on one foot. These guys are major league players. A lot of these guys will not be here this next year. Yeah. A lot of these guys will not be a part of it. And they should be playing for the pinstripes. They should be playing to stay in New York, to stay in the number one market with all of these fans and all of these luxuries and amenities that come with being a Yankee. These guys are going to be out of here, and they're not playing like it. They're playing like fire Cashman. They're playing like they're fans. They're playing like, oh, well, it's Cashman's fault. It's not my fault, Harrison Bader. It's not my fault, Gleyber Torres. It's not my fault. You can go around the diamond. You can literally go around every position. I think IKF is the guy like playing hardest right now. I think the guy really that's playing the hardest and doesn't care about the situation is Anthony Volpe. Maybe ignorance is bliss. He's so young and naive. He's just going out there playing, doesn't care what the score is or what the record is. He's trying to get better. So I'm looking at these pro ball players, Giancarlo Stanton, DJ LeMahieu. Like, you guys, I guess, are safe because of your contracts.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not a guarantee. They could trade you away for a bucket of balls. And I think Brian Cashman is feeling the flames. He's feeling the fire. And they're not going to fire him this year. He'll be fired potentially next year. But now starts his brain thinking, I have to bounce back. This was bad. What do I do? What changes need to absolutely be made? Before I let you go, doing nothing at the deadline to me is still ridiculous because like I look at Gleyber Torres grounding into double plays, becoming a zero because of where this team is. And I'm like, you could have traded him. You could have traded him at the deadline. If you did nothing, you could have gotten a return for Gleyber Torres. Now you got to do it in the offseason and the price has gone down.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I don't disagree. I think you absolutely have to trade Gleyber because your point about, first of all, Stanton has a no trade clause and no one's taking the contract. So he's here. That's just, you got to hope he's better next year. There's nothing else to do. Stanton's here. LeMahieu's here. Rizzo's here. Like those, there's nothing. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. Can you eat Rizzo's contract and bring in another first baseman who you hope is better? Like, there's nothing you can do.
Rizzo isn't concussed next year.
Yeah. I mean,
Rizzo
that's it.
Started this year off great. You hope that we get back to that. Shut him down for the year.
Why bring him back at this point now? I agree with you. But I think you move Gleyber Torres. I don't think his value is that diminished here. And I think it opens up the possibility for every team in baseball to, because you were going to trade him to a handful of teams looking for an infield. You had to find a team that was able. Looking for an infielder, right? Yeah, the Marlins will still want him next year. That's what I'm saying. Like, it had to be a team looking for a middle infielder in contention and had the prospects that matched what you wanted. So you had to find a minute thing. Yeah, maybe the value is high for those handful of teams you could find. But I think in the offseason, it opens up to a lot of possibilities. Every team in baseball, as well as not just prospects. Like, at the deadline, you're trading simply for prospects. in the offseason, you can make trade major leaguer for major leaguer and change how you go about building a team. You can't do that at the deadline. Deadline is strictly prospects because no team is going to want to give you their players that help them get to the position where all they need is a Gleyber Torres. Like, so now you can open it up to more than just – you could trade him for other major league players and you know, you could trade him for a major league pitcher. You could trade him for a major league outfielder. You could trade him for different things. It doesn't have to be
He'll
just
prospects.
He'll
probably be better elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean
– you off. But, like, Gary Sanchez, they flashed that graphic during the game last night. Like, yeah. Gary Sanchez is having one of the best seasons of all MLB catchers in San Diego. No. And we have Ben Rortvedt out there.
Yeah. So, no, I know. Well, listen, he was miserable in Minnesota, too. But, yeah, no, listen, we all knew.
The Mets should have hung on to the guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is why they held on to him for as long as they can. Because, you know what, you look at his numbers, they're not, like, crazy good, but they're good enough. And considering the position, that's the thing. That's why they held on to him.
We're really rolling Ben Rortvedt out there every day.
Yeah, well, because of Gashioka, I mean.
Exactly, because you have Hickey. And Higgy hasn't been bad, but it's like, what are we talking about? Like,
no,
what's the level we're looking for?
Yeah, no, I mean, and he did something. I don't want to harp on one at bat. We haven't really broken down the
game. I saw your tweet, and I saw the at bat, and you're 100% correct. It's like, that's what I'm talking about. These guys are checked out.
Yeah, and that's why, and immediately, so just a 3-1 count. He is a fastball hitter. That's who Gashioka is. He's a fastball hitter. It's a 3-1 facing a pitcher in Morton who's got one of the best curveballs in all of baseball. You hunt fastball, and if you don't get it, you don't swing, and then you work at 3-2 if he throws a strike. And it just ball. He swings at a curveball inside and hits a ground ball on 3-1.
Where's your head at?
Yeah, and then I get to your point. I understand what you're saying a little bit, but like then I get a million tweets. That's on Boone. That's on managing. That's on Boone, that's why I'm managing. I've never been managed by a major league manager in my life. I know it. Like, why? I'm sorry. To your point about giving the players, like, to giving the players no grief. Like, that's on Higashioka.
He's the only guy in the box.
He can't be in his brain saying, swing at a fastball, only swing at a fastball. Like, you have to know that. And, yeah, okay, maybe it's not been entrenched in his mind over every at-bat. Like, they trust these guys on some level. Like, he is a Major League Baseball player. Giancarlo Stanton is a Major League Baseball player. Like, we talk about how the hitting coach will make a difference. Oh, because these guys, you know, what's a hitting coach going to tell LeMahieu? What's a hitting coach going to tell Stanton? And then when those guys fail, we go, well, Aaron Boone sucks. Like,
no, it's not on Boone. Like, Higashioka is another player with a history of not being locked in, like not knowing how many outs there are.
Right. Rizzo got on him early in the year. Yeah.
Taking a ball and throwing it into the fans. That was like, I forget who's, it was like a baseball that had some meaning to it. It's like, bro, where are you at? Where's your head at?
Yeah. No, it's this is as low a point. And, you know, moving forward, I was just listening to Evan and Tiki, and Evan's proposing trading Cole.
Fuck no.
I can't imagine doing that. But his overall point of –
and BT and Sal opened up with, oh, this is on Aaron Judge.
On Judge, I know. Well, I mean, listen, I don't know what to say to either of those topics. Like, I don't even – it's clearly not on Judge. Now, look – if your point is Judge is their best player, Judge has been one of the best players in baseball since 2017, and we look at those years as disappointments, every single one of them, and he hasn't been able to, you know, I think he carried the team obviously last year to a division title. Without him, they don't win the division. But then in the postseason, there's no other, you know, did he deserve to get booed by a handful of fans? No, those people are morons. But did he underperform in the postseason? Of course he did. Like, you can't argue that. Sure. He just did. Whether it was the mental drain of 62 or whatever, like, he's hit a couple home runs in the wild card games. He's had decent series, but he has not really out. Yeah, he has not been someone who's helped carry them. So if your point is he's their best player for the last 6 years, and I look at those 6 years as underachieving and disappointments, I guess that's a fair statement. But it's to say it's on him is silly. And then to Evan's point, like, I get it that I'm concerned about what they do to get better. Like, I fire Brian Cashman, bring in whatever GM, bring in Stearns, who used to run Milwaukee, bring in obviously what's his name, who broke the curse, Theo Epstein, who broke the curse in Chicago and in Boston. But that's fine. Fire Brian Cashman, I'm all for it. We're all shaking hands. We agree on that one. But what does the next guy do? Because there are people on this team who are the main reason they're failing. And you can't move on from them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer is. And it seems easy. Oh, well, trade your best player for as many prospects and go into this rebuild type thing. Yankees don't rebuild, man. I understand the free agent class isn't what you expected, but there's moves to be made to get this team in a better position than just giving up on your best player.
They're not that far away. They're not.
No, I don't think they. Yeah.
So here
it
in
feels BT, like it right now, but I don't think they
here
are
here in BT and Sal. I'm just like, this is not 3 years ago when the Warriors lost Steph Curry and it was like, well, they're not going to get to the finals without Steph. Like, this isn't basketball. Yeah. This is baseball, where if Brian Cashman did what he was supposed to do and signed one, maybe two outfielders, then maybe you have a guy you can stick in right field that can hit, that like actually helps you while, you know, Judge is out. Like, and then other things went down, which we all know, and I hate having to go over them, about Rizzo and DJ and Stanton. Like we understand what happened. That doesn't mean this whole season is on Judge, bro. Like, I just and then talking about the whole captain thing means nothing to me. Like that stuff was for him to sign, I guess. Like Hal saying, okay, we'll give you the money and you're the captain. Great. Like,
he's been the de facto captain for a long time.
He's been the captain for 3 years. And then with Cole, what the fuck are we talking about? Cole is about to win the AL Cy Young. Cole is the most solid thing on this team, and they fail Cole. Cole goes out there and gives you seven innings, and they fail him every single time, it seems. And you want to trade that guy? That's the only rock. That's the only pillar. And that guy's going to finish his career Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. We're not trading Gerrit Cole. No, you actually hit. That's actually when you went into free agency and spent the money, and you hit on the player. Why would you trade him away? I don't understand that.
The argument is that you said he's the pillar. It's him and Judge, and two pillars aren't holding up the building. And the idea is you can trade him and get because the contract is reasonable. He isn't his prime. I agree with you. I don't move on from him. But I mean, the point is that, like, I don't know. Like you just said, well, if they would have attacked, if they brought in Bellinger, right, to play left field, if they did different things, maybe they're not in the position they're in. But would you feel like they're a World Series team? I don't know. I don't know because Rizzo still gets hurt, because Stanton still is Stanton, because DJ LeMahieu is still a 230 hitter with no pop. Like, those things don't change with Bellinger. Are they a game out of the third wild card as opposed to 6.5, and where we're still figuring out how they can accomplish this? Maybe. But are they secure in a division? There's so much wrong with the team right now that I don't know, like, how they move forward. I don't know. Like, you have to – Steinbrenner has to go out there and spend. And he's in the cycle. You're right. I mean,
Ohtani does not want to be a Yankee. He ain't coming.
I don't know that. You know that?
But they should make a run at him.
They have to.
Way they made a run at Cole, and they got him like expensive wine, and they gave him some shiny Yankee box with a Yankee cap. They need to do all that for Ohtani. I was on air months ago, or a month and a half ago, whatever, as we were going. I'm like, who in New York has the Japanese connection and knows all of the best Japanese cuisines and whatever? I don't know that stuff, but the Yankees need to get in touch with that person, and they need to get in touch with Ohtani to sell him and say, listen, bro, if you come over here and play for the Yankees, it's different. It's different. Yeah. We do have Gerrit Cole. We do have Aaron Judge. Do you want to be a third pillar of this franchise?
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. That would change a lot because it adds to the rotation and the middle of the lineup. But, like, barring that, you're right. But, I mean, you could go out and get, you know, Urias, who's a legitimately good pitcher. You could throw him in the rotation.
There are some arms.
Yeah, I mean, get out. I don't know. Like, I haven't looked recently, but I know Conforto was having a decent season. You get Conforto. You get, you know, different people like that. But you're right. I mean, I don't know if there is a game changer out there. That's why you can have the conversation about moving on from Cole. I think it's silly. I think the minute you trade him, you're going to be looking to replace him. Like, that's the thing. Like, okay, you could trade Cole for what?
Then who's the ace of your staff? Clark Schmidt.
Now you don't have an ace. Like, you're considering trading him because of how valuable he is, and I'd like to keep that value. Like, I don't – like, we have something no other team has. I don't want to trade that in hopes.
You had CeCe, you had Tanaka, you had to go and get Gerrit Cole. Now, 4 years after signing Cole, we got Gerrit Cole.
After his best year. Yeah.
And the guy's going to have the AL Cy Young trophy. Oh, yeah, he's on the market. That doesn't make any sense to me. It's not that dire. That's the other thing, too. Before we close this and I go drink some more DayQuil and be ready to host the show tonight. Mm-hmm. They're a game below 500.
Yeah.
Across town, like the team with the highest payroll in the history of baseball – when was the last time they were 500 this season? They've been below 500
the entire year. Yeah,
that's
so. No, I I agree. Like we, but San Diego Padres, same thing. The San Diego Padres have a lineup with Soto, Machado.
Padres.
I mean, and they haven't been. We're talking about Gary Sanchez and what he's done for them. Oh, Blake Snell.
Juan Soto hates it there.
Yeah, Blake Snell had a stretch where he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. They got Yu Darvish. They got Musgrove, who was a stud in the postseason last year. Like they've got they go and give Xander Bogaerts 11-year contract. Like. And they can't sniff the – so, I mean, that's why people – it's funny to me because when I bring that up and I mention, hey, it's literally a quarter century. Like, on some level, we have to just at least acknowledge, as disappointed as we are right now, the idea that my low point in 30 years is a game under 500 in August is kind of astounding. And it's why I'm, like – I talk about the idea that I'm kind of happy being a Yankee fan. Like you talk about it, like you have a young son now, and I hear all the guys, oh, do I really want to bring him into Met fandom? Do I want to do that to him? Do I want to make him a Jet fan? I've never had a hesitation in my life to make my kids a Yankee fan. I mean, the Yankees, but yeah, it's been disappointing and they've made a bunch of mistakes leading into a low point, but still the low point is a game under 500 in August. Yeah. Like,
being
it's amazing that for 25 years and 30 years, that's been the low point. There is something to say about that, but it doesn't change the fact that it almost seems like this is, like the middle of a trajectory going like that. Like I'm saying it's the low point now, but it feels like it could be much, much worse real quickly. So they need to do something to change it. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't know how far off they are. I think if Judge wasn't hurt this year, they wouldn't be in this position. It's that simple. Like if this exact team had a healthy Judge the whole year, I don't think anybody would be beating their chest saying, bring on the Astros again, or, you know, maybe some would, but I don't think they'd be in a position where you're like, oh, they're going to win this division. Oh, they can beat anyone, but it would be a hell of a lot closer than six games out feeling like the season's over. I mean, and that's just the same exact team with a player didn't get hurt. So it's tough. It's tough because we're not just trying to get back to the team that can make the playoffs. You're trying to get to a team that can be a World Series contender. And I don't know moving forward how this core of the team that's failed them this year, only getting older next year. I don't know how you have any faith that they can figure out a way. It's a lot. It takes a lot. They're going to really have to do something. And the same people are going to be there to make the decision. It's going to be Cashman, and Hal's going to be the owner, obviously. So you have to hope that they recognize that this is now different and go about changing things. It's an interesting time to be a Yankee fan because you're right. It's not that far off. It really isn't. If we really take a step back and look at it and look at the rest of baseball, I mean, it's and like I mentioned the 25 years again, like as I get people calling me up and go, it's the bare minimum. The bare minimum should be, you know, making the playoffs every year and never having a losing season. And then I'll say the Mets couldn't do it for 2 years. And the Padres, well, they're just getting into it. That's not really fair. They're just getting into it. Yeah, they're just getting into it and can't accomplish what Cashman has been able to accomplish for 25 years. Yeah. 25 years running. And this is the first time he slipped up. And other franchises can't get past their second and third year of this attempt. Like,
it's a standard they set. So they will be set to return to it. Like they will be set on returning to it. Like I 100% understand that.
Yeah,
like, it's a down year. It's a combination of unfortunate events, right? Yeah. Too many ifs, too many hopes. Hope is not a strategy. Too many hoping that Josh Donaldson has a bounce back year. Hoping that Aaron Hicks is good to go as the left fielder. Oswaldo Cabrera is good to back him up. Hoping that Judge stays healthy when he hasn't stayed healthy his entire career except the prove it year. Hoping that guys played through injury like Jose Trevino and were able to go the whole season, but he was not. Hoping that Carlos Rodon and Nestor and Seve, all three of them were hurt and missed a ton of time. Domingo Herman, hoping that, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, a lot of things went wrong. It's a roll of the dice. They crapped out. They took an L so many ways this year. But now the seat gets hot. They're not firing Cashman, and they may not fire Boone because I put that out last night. I'm like, they're going to fire injury or they're going to blame injuries, but it's not. Boone doesn't get to pick the players. He's looking at what he has. He doesn't have much to pull from. He can only do with the roster so much. And when these guys are checked out, like they look like they were checked out in this Braves series, just being completely overmatched. What is Boone supposed to do? Is he supposed to go out there and get at the umps again? I think he's chilling on that. Yeah. Like, what can he do? That's the only thing that he's able to do is yell at the umpires. And obviously, you know, there are little things in games like walking Jake Berger, whatever. But like, you shouldn't end up. You shouldn't end up in the situation.
Yeah,
like,
I completely agree.
Play
Holmes
I have no
has problem.
To be better.
It's that simple. You're 100% right. And I screamed about not walking Berger. It made no sense to me. You have to walk him. But at the same time, the game's already tied. They're probably losing the game. Like he was. That move isn't why they lost. It might have prolonged the game. I don't know. It might not have. But there was nothing that was going to happen that was going to prevent from losing that game. Once Clay Holmes, who's had 2 months where he's been one of the best relievers in baseball. Like, let's just be fair about it. Like, you know, he's got an ERA under one. He's got a batting Can't average against under two. Like, but I know, but in the big moment, he's had that moment. But to your point about the injuries too, like, injuries are not a fair excuse for Brian Cashman, but I think they are a fair excuse for Aaron Boone. All he can do is manage the team that's on the field. I mean, it's a fair excuse to say 3/5 of his starting rotation got injured. I think it's a fair excuse to say the best player in baseball missed 2 months. I think it's a fair excuse that, you know, Rizzo hits his head and becomes the worst player in baseball for 2 months. Like, that's not an excuse necessarily for roster building, because I understand a lot of those players are injury prone, and I'm not going to give Brian Cashman a pass on it. But how can you not give the manager a pass on it? He can only manage. He doesn't pick the players. He only manages what he has, and he's playing like – We argue about the, you know, Kiner Falefa in left field. That's the team he's been presented with. I mean, I guess he could be stubborn and just play Greg Allen in left field. At least he's an outfielder. But that gives him no chance to score runs, and they don't score runs. Like, he's only doing what he can. Like, I can't imagine anyone. I really can't. You don't have to like Boone. You can think maybe even they're better off without him. That's fine. But I can't imagine there is a single person who watches this Yankee team and sees what's going on here and tells me that Boone is the problem. Like, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. The team is awful. The lineup up and down is just awful. I mean, Gleyber Torres is having a nice little season. He's their best hitter. Like, I mean,
I would bet when they sat at the table to decide on Luis Severino pitching all those games, I would bet Boone voted no.
Oh, yeah, maybe. And 100%.
I would bet and
that's another,
I don't know about that.
I don't think Boone's a puppet necessarily, but I agree with you. He does not have unilateral decision making to say I'm taking Severino.
I think he's watched enough baseball to be like, when they're sitting at the table, if it's Cashman, Hal, Manaea, Sabian, Fishman, Blake, Boone, and they say, okay, we're gonna pitch Severino. Raise your hand if you think that's a good idea. I would bet that Boone said, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not been. Although, you know, his last start was better, I guess. You know, it looked like he actually had some stuff, but.
And you know what, Chris? And I know we got to wrap this up, but that's why I said I don't feel bad for Severino. Go out there and compete. Go out there and figure it out. You're a professional. You get paid to do this. This is like your life on the line. Like, go out there and fight. And he gave it up against the Braves, but then he settled in. And it's like, man, he still has it. But there's just something wrong with this guy. Yeah. And like, I don't know how they don't figure it out. I don't know how they don't get in the lab and absolutely fix it. I felt like they did in that Angels start after the trade deadline or the All-Star break. I'm like, okay, when he was very tight to the chest and he was coming out, like, I don't know. And that just went away.
I mean, listen, you can't predict that. Like, there's just no way to, the guy has been an ace, not just good. Like, he's been an ace whenever he's on the mound. The problem is he hasn't been on the mound enough, but you could not have seen an 8 ERA out of Luis Severino coming. Like, there's just no way. I'm sorry. You could say that Brian Cashman should have bolstered the rotation. I suppose. I thought the rotation was their strong suit coming into the season.
I thought they did a great job. Rotation in baseball. Everybody preseason.
Oh man, I can't.
The best rotation in baseball. Mets fans were upset. Yeah. Mets fans were like, "Wait, we have Verlander and Scherzer."
No, believe me, Montas is the fifth. Montas is your five, man. That's some rotation. Montas is your five. Like, I remember saying
nobody
that
knew Clark Schmidt would be what he ended up
being.
Domingo Germán was going to throw a perfect game.
No, but I mean, even the perfect game ends with sending him off. Like, this is just nothing has materialized.
I thought the Yankees were supposed to win World Series when they threw a perfect game.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's not over yet, right? there's still a quarter of the season to play, and I mean, if you play that game, they have to make up a game a week for the next 6 weeks. So listen, I don't think they're doing it. I'm on record saying the season's cooked. They just look dead to me. That's really the main thing. But the actual hill to climb is not impossible. It's making Toronto hasn't been playing well at all. They've allowed Seattle to catch them, and Seattle traded away their closer. So, I mean, they're on a hot streak, but do you trust them? I don't know. But the point is that it's not the teams they're chasing. It's the Yankees. They look absolutely cooked. But all they have to do is pick up a game a week for the rest of the year. It's not impossible, but I just –
They have to believe. They don't look like they
believe. I can't imagine – no, not at all. And so for me, it's the homestand. And I said this last night. I'm giving them – I'm already calling the season cooked, but I'm giving them the homestand to change my mind, or else there's really nothing else to do but give us something to watch, which means call up Perea.
They can't win a series, Chris. So here you go with the Red Sox and the Washington Nationals in your ballpark.
They have to win 5 of 6. They have to win. I think they have to do better than that. Quite. I think they have to win 5 of 6. I think they have to win the White Red Sox series and sweep.
I don't think they can. That's why I'm like,
and that's why I don't think they can. Yeah,
you get 4 out of 6. Just win 2 series back to back. That would be miraculous at this point.
Yeah. No, I hear you, but so I'm giving them that just before I. Other than that, like if they don't do that, then it's time to really consider shutting down Judge. It's time to really consider bringing up. I mean, I know everyone says Austin Wells isn't ready to catch at the major league level. I don't care.
Me either.
It's time to bring up Wells.
Ben
Rortvedt.
What are we doing with Ben Rortvedt? Yeah,
exactly. It's time to bring up Wells. It's time to bring up Peraza. It's time to bring up
Everson Pereira.
Everson Pereira. It's time to bring up everybody. If this homestand ends up with 2 series losses, or you know, even splitting wouldn't be enough. Like they need to at least 4 or 6. I think 5 or 6. Otherwise, give us something to look forward to for 2024. Like that's all that's left. Like you have to allow us to see if these kids are anything. You can't chase it anymore. So I'm done with it. I think the season's over, but I'm giving them this homestand to change my mind, and I'm giving them the homestand to at least continue to chase it. Cause if this homestand, if they get swept by the Red Sox, like what are we doing? No, it's over.
They're going to be throwing chicken buckets on the field. If that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, and then just bring up the kids and give us something to watch. And there's nothing else to do. Shut down Judge,
right,
and make sure he's 100% Chris, healthy.
I can't even watch these games straight on, bro. Like, they're not enjoyable at all.
No. Oh, no. They are.
Like, I cannot make straight eye contact with the Yankee game because something stupid is going to happen. Something like Higashioka or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's like, they've taken the fun out of it completely. Yeah.
Or Bader getting picked off of first base down 6 runs. Or IKF oversliding second base.
Glaber running into an out at third, or Glaber making a lazy throw to first. Like,
thank God I didn't watch that Glaber play live. Thank God I saw that. Like,
it makes you want to throw the remote through the TV, even though you know they're out of it, even though you're detached, off the roller coaster. It's like, what am I watching?
I know.
Is this Little League? I've been watching the Little League World Series. These kids don't do that.
And the other night, watching Judge walk 3 times and watching Glaber immediately followed up with two double plays.
It's the just IDP, like, what? Getting those numbers up, getting those totals up.
I know. It's just, it's impossible.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
It's a tough watch, man.
The New York Yankees. Yeah. And of course, right? You get your show on WFAN. I got a show on WFAN. And this is the Yankees.
We just lined up the final 12 hours of the day with Yankee talk with Yankee guys, and it's freaking miserable. I mean, it's just Evan tweeted it out there, 10-17 since I took the job. He texted me. The Yankees are 10-17 since I got the overnight job, and he's pretty much like, you sold your soul. He's like, you got the job, you got a full time hosting gig, and the deal was the Yankees are going to go into the downturn.
Well, not
the last
for nothing.
30 years.
They miss you on the afternoon show. I'll leave it at that. We need to wrap this up.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
VXB, back to it. You know, Chris was on a little bit of a vacation. I was sick, had to move, but we'll be back with another podcast after this next series. Subscribe, tell a friend. That's all we've got. Thanks for listening. We're out of here.
Hang in there.